Okay, I've swallowed my last swallow, so we can begin, I think. As I said, the Foreign Minister has an important meeting up on the Hill with Senator McCain after 2 o'clock, so he's going to have to leave a little bit earlier. And I'm not going to spend long introducing him. Let me just say a few words about how I see the situation now in Montenegro. I think we are approaching a truly historical moment in the history of the country. The referendum on independence and statehood has now been scheduled for May the 21st, and Montenegro will emerge as a super democracy with the kind of result that's expected, in other words, 55%. The outcome of the referendum hopefully will be very clear, that it will decide either way whether Montenegro becomes indeed independent or remains in some sort of union with Serbia. In other words, either it's under 50 or it's over 55, because anything in between, I fear, could become a new source of conflict and potential instability. Anyway, to bring us up to date in a much more systematic way, both on the referendum, but also what it means for Montenegro and its relations with the EU, with Serbia, with the United States, of course, and so on, we have the Foreign Minister, Mitro Vlahovic, who I won't introduce because it will take too long. Let me just say he's a man who wears many hats, maybe even a few helmets, as a lawyer, NGO activist, parliamentarian, businessman, not all at the same time, and now the Foreign Minister. So we're very happy to host him again and to hear where Montenegro now stands. The floor is yours, Mitro.
Thank you. Nice to be here again. Thank you, Janusz. Although being more systematic than you, it's quite an exaggeration. On your side, as it is mentioning helmets there, I always have to repeat when you enumerate some of the activities of mine in last decade and a half or a bit longer, that actually the most important thing that I did in the last 15 years was the Citizens Committee for Peace in Montenegro. That was the genuine and, I would say, a true peace movement in our country. The death of Milosevic has reminded me, actually, recently on some of our ideas back in the early 90s, and although I was asked by some media to comment that very unfortunate event, unfortunate for the justice and a needed reconciliation processes in the countries of ex-Yugoslavia, I have said that remembering the early 90s when we were trying to stop the war and to oppose these kind of terrible ideas and policy which has led us to this mass graves and mass destruction, that Mr. Milosevic died 250,000 dead people late, refusing to make any public statement about that, of course. So glad to be here again. Janusz has said that we are going to be a bit shorter than we have announced. We have this very important meeting for us on the Hill with Senator McCain. I don't believe that I have to explain the reasons why it may be very, very important for us in coming years. What is important in this very moment, I will briefly address a number of issues which were already mentioned by Janusz, expecting in this kind of, I would say, public to have, as it was the case in all of our previous presentations here, interesting questions and my attempts to answer, at least to a certain extent, some of them. So briefly, a referendum shall be held on May 21st. The minister was promising to you repeatedly in last few occasions that is going to be held by the end of April, so I was not telling the truth, but I was not necessarily incorrect in specifying the date there. So it's spring 2006. After the negotiations in between the opposition, indirect negotiation in between the opposition and the governmental parties in Montenegro, we have come to certain conclusions and decisions. One of them being to accept an awkward model which provides for the rule that in order to have independence, there should be at least 55% of votes of the turnout. I would not like to go further in detail. We do not believe that now, as we speak, 10 weeks before the referendum, that very problem or the dilemmas, plural, which were raised when EU has opted to propose to us and to just suggest to us this kind of model, it's not our priority anymore. Now we are concentrated to win the referendum. We believe and we know actually that we have a needed majority. One of the, I would say, positive reasons why the EU has proposed such a model is probably related to the fact that there is a notion, there is a awareness in Brussels administration and in most of the 25 members that we can reach that majority. But for the sake of clarity, for the sake of, I would say, of necessity to anticipate, if possible, certain scenarios, in our last diplomatic activities on both sides of Atlantic, and that's why also I'm here in Washington, we have reminded our international partners that the very possibility, theoretical one, but a possibility, we to have the result in between 50% and 55% should be addressed with proper seriousness. In order to avoid the situation which Western Balkans as a whole, as a region, the countries of ex-Yugoslavia were faced with in the last 15 years, that sometimes the, as it is said, the relevant factors of international community has reacted and addressed certain problems and issues only after they have occurred. We believe that that very practice should be avoided in this specific case, which is quite an important for us, and that is Montenegrin referendum. So although we do not believe that the margin of majority which may fall in between 50 and 55%, it is our obligation, it is our duty, since we try to behave seriously and cautiously enough, to actually analyze even that possibility. But on the other side, the next 10 weeks, Montenegrin government and governmental parties and all the and the whole, if I may say, use that very old-fashioned word, front, which is in favor of independence, we shall organize a positive campaign emphasizing the necessity, the historical interest, the interest of each and every Montenegrin citizen, including those ones who have some doubts and concerns and who oppose for any reason the Montenegrin independence, to be independent, to have an independent country which is going to be in full control of its own, I would say, interests, which is going to be, fully oriented towards the European and Euro-Atlantic integrative processes, which both of them remain the strategic priority number one of our country, which wants to participate in these processes as a political subject, as a country with its own interests, with its own dynamics, with its own responsibilities and duties in the context of the European integrations on one hand and the Euro-Atlantic ones on the other. That is actually what it is all about. We have the historical reasons, cultural ones, ethnic ones, if you want, also, but our priorities, our reasons, the reason itself of our strive towards and drive towards independence is related, and it has to do something with the future of all the people living in Montenegro. It is in their best interest. We to have the political definition which is going to delimit our both interests and responsibilities. I will now go furthermore in that context. So once again, everyone, people in Montenegro, but also the international factors, our friends and partners in Serbia, included everyone can expect a positive, future-oriented campaign in Montenegro on our side. So we are not going to play with fears. We are not going to threaten any kind of turmoil or risky scenario or situation when and if we become independent, because that is simply not the case. But as we speak, some of the regional and events which may affect our activities and our future activities in the context of European integration show us that actually All this reasoning on our side has, unfortunately enough, something to do with the ongoing reality. Namely, after the death of Milosevic, to make a pretty long and complicated story short, but detailed enough to we to explain what it is all about, the chances General Mladic to be extradited and to be sent to the Hague Tribunal are very low, if not eliminated. Especially in the term which was projected by the EU, that extradition should occur, and that is the end of this month. Of course, we would not only agree, but we would actually congratulate and support if we would have such a positive surprise and General Mladic is sent to The Hague until the end of this month. But realistically speaking, it is quite, a less likely scenario. So there is a problem and the possibility the SAA talks to be suspended, as it was repeatedly announced by the EU Commission and EU partners. Montenegro has a very specific position on that issue. We have addressed Mr. Pribe's team, the negotiation team on the side of EU, with our specific letter almost 2 months ago, asking them not to suspend the talks. Not only because we would not like, we are not interested to use that very additional argument in favor of our independence a couple of weeks before the referendum itself. It's not about that. It's about much more important things, and that is the fact that we have, together with Serbia, and as Montenegro and Serbia, we have lost a precious historical time, and any additional delay in our way towards Europe and European integrative systems would be detrimental for the interests of all the people living in our countries. So, despite the fact that we are not guilty for that very situation, that Montenegro cannot be taken and considered responsible for that delay, for the inability, unwillingness, or there are some other phenomena there, of course, of the Serbian government to fully cooperate with the ICTY, our position is that talks should not be suspended. We are in favor of the conditional continuation of the talks, the condition there being the extradition of General Mladic and all the indictees. And the very signature on the agreement, on the Stabilization Association Agreement, to be conditioned by the extradition. So whatever happens by the end of this month, we are not going to play that very card in the context of referendum. Although if the talks will be suspended, inevitably enough, each and every, if I may use that word, ordinary citizen of our country will be even more assured that Montenegro has best interest to actually to be fully responsible on our own for each and every aspect of our interior and foreign policy. But as some of our international interlocutors, our friends, we have met in the last couple of weeks, both in Europe and here in America, have said to us, even in the case of suspension of talks, Montenegrin referendum shall have another positive consequence, and that is Montenegro will qualify to be, I would say, a full-fledged partner for the SAA talks. The double-track technique will be easily enough and in a very, I would say, short period transformed in the two-track approach, and the European Commission would, in a couple of weeks, issue a new mandate for the talks with Montenegro, where, of course, the idea which we were threatened with, especially with due respect and with your understanding by our friends from Belgrade, that all the positive achievements we have done and confirmed in the process of negotiations until this very moment shall be, in that case, eliminated and returned to the zero level, these ideas were proven wrong and were confirmed as wrong in Brussels, which is very encouraging for us, but also in some other important European capitals. So that is very important, I would say, ongoing process where Montenegro, and that is the bottom line, is ready for both scenarios. And once again, the reasons for independence, the necessity we to finalize that process are not neither directly or indirectly related to the forthcoming decision of EU in the context of the SAA talks. And last point before I would like to be as brief as possible, which sometimes I manage, sometimes not, is that the third point is actually Montenegro is one of the open issues in the Western Balkans. For months and even years, we were, how to say, confused with some other open processes. There were different theories that, including the negative domino effect theory, which has actually considered Montenegro to be Montenegro in the process of regaining full independence to be a problematic, risky, disturbing development in the region, which can harm both the interests and stability in some other parts of the region. It was proven wrong, as it is the case with uncritical and, I would say, a parallel which is not based in reality, that the open issues, some other open issues in the Balkans are interconnected with Montenegrin independence in a way that if you touch one of them, there is the negative effect on the other, or if you accelerate or if you allow the finalization of certain process, in this case Montenegrin independence, it may accelerate or it may bring back to the international negotiation table some other open issues, namely Kosovo one, but also some other. It is very positive from our modest point of view that the international community shows an increased decisiveness to finalize all open issues in Western Balkans. We, in that context, look with sympathy and with support the ongoing activities of, we should call him President Ahtisaari, the special envoy of the Secretary General for Kosovo negotiations, as well as the activities and ideas which are coming recently from the contact group. We believe that the overall stability in the region cannot be reached without the finalization of certain open issues. It is just the opposite. The finalization of the status issue in Kosovo, the peaceful democratic referendum in Montenegro, certain reforms in Bosnia-Herzegovina, improvements in the dialogue and process of accession in Macedonia, in Albania, in Bosnia-Herzegovina again, and in Croatia can only help the stabilization of the region and directly and indirectly, but efficiently enough, can help our friends in Serbia to stabilize their own country, to democratize Serbia, which remains the democratic, peaceful Europe and Euro-Atlantic integrations-oriented Serbia remains as the prerequisite number one for the overall stability of the region. So the bottom line for my brief introductory notes is very simple. Independence of Montenegro shall help Serbia. Although it is being mostly misunderstood in Belgrade, that is the process which will bring Serbia back to their own legitimate problems and their own legitimate interests, where Montenegrin issue and the relations in between Serbia and Montenegro shall not be, at least to the extent that is the case as we speak, cannot be misused and manipulated as a part of interior or internal political development and the internal political agenda in Serbia. So, although we were largely misunderstood in Belgrade the last 15 years, and especially from 97 on, we, the political forces, individuals, political parties, governmental and non-governmental groups in Montenegro who are in favor of independence of Montenegro, we are the best friends of Serbia in Montenegro. That is our firm position, because once independent, Montenegro shall remain open for the dialogue with the Republic of Serbia and for the establishment of special relations on the basis of full equality and full mutual respect as two independent and internationally recognized countries. That is our message to Serbia, that our process is in the favor of Serbia, as it is in favor of the overall stability in the region. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for that brief and concise but also precise introduction. Let's open up to questions and comments. Please. If you could introduce yourselves.
Ben Spencer, Public International Law and Policy Group. I think the real burning question is what happens if the referendum result falls between 50% and 55% specifically, and what do you see playing out if that does happen?
Thank you. That is probably the most important, the second most important question there, because the first most important question would be what is going to happen after Montenegro succeeds to get what is needed according to the this model, which was proposed and adopted, of course, in our parliament, where the very decision to go to referendum was passed unanimously, with unanimous vote, which is very positive, where, just for the sake of a notice and small detail there, where only the governmental parties and the present governmental officials were applauding that very decision, which was symbolic enough. Concerning that very dilemma, which is definitely an open issue, an open question, we are not interested to go into, I would say, some kind of speculations before it occurs. One thing is certain. Majority-minority relationship is one of the pillars of democratic procedure, democratic system, democratic principles. Democracy is, besides some other even more important things, is also a relation in between majority and minority, where both of them should be respected in a specific way, as we know, in order to avoid these commonplaces. My answer, which would be in full accordance with the books describing the basics of democracy, let me just remind ourselves and our friends, even here in Washington, that it is going to be impossible to explain to majority that they are not, in fact, what they are. And the very fact that we are going to have majority should have some legal and political positive, of course, consequences. Definitely, according to the model which was adopted and passed in the Montenegrin parliament, and therefore which is obligatory now for us to be respected to full extent, Montenegro, in that theoretical situation, would not become independent by the vote in referendum. But on the other side, it is absolutely certain that the present inefficient and dysfunctional state union would not exist anymore, because in one of the two member states, there is no legitimacy for such a thing. We believe, on the other side, if you allow me my personal remark, that even in Serbia, there is probably no, as we speak, a fervent support for the continuation of the state union. Even Ambassador Lajčak, allow me to hide my opinion behind his latest statement, was saying recently in Podgorica, as it was reported in press both in Montenegro and in Serbia, that it is virtually impossible the state union to survive. And he is right. And in that context, it is important what Janusz has said at the very beginning. We to avoid the crisis. We to avoid any kind of serious unrest and turmoil, unnecessary one, I would say, and to respect the will of people to the extent their will can be transformed in some legal and political, I would say, decisions. It's absolutely clear that the State Union would not exist in that presumed situation, which means, on the other side, and I would like to emphasize in this very context, in that presumed situation, Montenegro would refrain, of course, for any kind of uncontrolled unilateral action. But we would remain open for the, as we are open as we speak, with the dialogue with Serbia and the dialogue with Brussels, or if you want, a bit more precise, a dialogue with Serbia with the help and support from Brussels. So that it would be the second, even better consequence of the majority, which could fall in between 50 and 55%.
I'm Mike Holtz, LDLA Piper Rudnick Rick Carey. I realize that you don't want to begin to think of the possibility that the vote would be under 50%, but just for the sake of argument, would it be fair to say that if the vote would be under 50% for independence, then the union would be much more centralized out of Belgrade?
Absolutely. You would not have a Ministry of Foreign Affairs, neither the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Montenegro. It would not be needed at all, as it is the case with the number of other ministries.
Are the pro-independence forces making this possibility clear in the campaign? I mean,
absolutely.
I would think this would be a huge issue.
Absolutely, although it may be understood correctly or incorrectly enough, I believe the second is the fact that it is a part of political propaganda. You know, a very dear friend of mine, if I may say, and even a relative, Mr. Predrag Bulatovic, has recently said that he himself and his party opposes the centralization and unitarization of Serbia and Montenegro as a common state. My benevolent question to him in the lobby of our parliament when we were congratulating each other for the unanimous vote was actually, Predrag, do you really believe that anybody would ask you whether you are in favor or against it in that presumed situation? Is it relevant what is the position of one of the parties in Montenegro who are in favor of the common state with Serbia, whether that state should be centralized or unitarized or transformed in some kind of false modern federation? Because as we speak, Montenegro is still 17 times smaller than Serbia, and it would remain smaller in that, I would say, unlikely outcome of referendum, where the bigger state does not have any practical reason to respect the legitimacy and the autonomy and the individuality of the smaller one. So maybe in the first months and even in a year or two after the referendum with that kind of outcome, maybe there would not be a dramatic changes on the formal level. But it is absolutely certain what would be the destiny of our country, Montenegro, in that theoretical model. We have seen what would be the pattern of behavior, political and cultural and economic and all of them taken together in that theoretical situation in last 90 years, 90. In different ways, it was proven wrong, as President Vujanović has clearly stated in his speech after the referendum, or before the decision to go to the referendum was adopted, that we have tried with, as they say, volens, nolens, with our interest and readiness to participate or without it, from 1918 on, different models of the common state with Serbia. All of them were proven wrong and inefficient, and not only negative for the interests of Montenegro, but also very unpleasant and negative for the interests of Serbia. Therefore, we should try the model which was, I would say, present before 1918, but in the modern times, in a modern way, with open borders, with both countries being fully interested and oriented and dedicated to make necessary achievements and progress towards the Euro-Atlantic and European integration systems. So, yes, we emphasize that, Mike, but sometimes it is being understood as just part of political campaign.
Paolo Liebel von Schirach, Georgetown University and international consultant. Beyond the politics, which is clearly the major event coming forward, Can you tell us something more about the economics of a soon, perhaps, to be independent, assuming, you know, this scenario, soon to be independent Montenegro? Just to, not that, to make light of this, but there was a very interesting spread in the Financial Times not too long ago talking about Montenegro as the next target for people seeking housing in the new Riviera, the undiscovered Riviera, as Croatia prices have become, you know, too high for vacationers, European vacationers looking for second homes. Beyond that, and beyond the interesting examples such as that I'm aware of, such as the Japanese, you know, car component manufacturing, which is a very interesting example of foreign direct investment. What can you tell us in terms of the prospects? Clearly, tourism is a very important one, but in manufacturing or services, where do you see the economic strategy of an independent Montenegro going?
Thank you for that question. Tourism, infrastructure, services, communication, and modern technologies. Once we free ourselves from country risk, which the very existence of the country where you have Serbia, Kosovo, and Montenegro together represents the risk, per se, and it is understood as such, and where certain in the international business community, and where it is still unclear to some important potential investors what it is all about in legal terms, where is the authority, how you can organize the business, who is to guarantee the all the necessary elements of a decent and correct and I would say efficient investment. Montenegro would have a chance, definitely. And thank you for reading that very article, which is an autonomous, I would say, objective reading of our reality, nothing to do with our campaigns or lobbying in various countries, which we try to organize, of course, in our best interest. But that one, which is not the only one, it's a fair assessment on the possibilities of the country, which may be developed, definitely, or which may remain under the scenario which was mentioned by Mr. Halzel, which could remain only ideas. What is important there, we have an overall economic stability, we have the euro as our legal tender, as they say, as our currency, we have a budget deficit which is under 3%, we have very low level of inflation, something like 2-something percent. I'm not good with figures, but it is really low and it is absolutely controlled. We have the state budget deficit. I said in my previous presentation here, there is a very nice example where there is a state budget deficit of 34 million euros, 3-4. In the same time, our contribution to the very inefficient, old-fashioned, and I would say an army which is not necessarily considered as the best example of the military force is 40.5 million euros on yearly basis, 40.5. The calculation is easy even for lawyers who are not experienced in, as I'm 40.5 million euros a year we pay for an army which does not perform. And these people are not guilty for that, but it's an army which is very costly and which actually there is no substantial reason to keep that kind of military force. It should be transformed. As it is the case with Montenegro and Serbia, are separately or in any kind of, I would say, correct and fruitful communication should be together with others from the region in PFP and consequently NATO. Concerning the economic perspectives, we have a number of important foreign investments recently, not only that particular Japanese in nearby Kotor. We have actually investments which are increasing, and per capita they represent, we are on the first position in the territory of ex-Yugoslavia in Western Balkans. On the other side, there are a number of things which can be done, one of them being, of course, a controlled development of our seacoast, where, of course, the ideas of sustainable development are actually our strategic orientation, in order to use reasonably and with cautiousness, which is needed, one of the resources which are exhaustible, and that is the space itself. And of course, we have a number of projects where important companies, including the American ones, could be involved. and hopefully we are going to have them in months and years to come, in one of the two important infrastructure projects, one of them being the completion of the Adriatic Highway, the portion which goes through Montenegro. Our Croatian friends, as I have already mentioned in previous occasions, will finalize their part of highway, if nothing negative happens, until 2008. In the same time, there is another corridor which is to be addressed with proper, I would say, attention, and that is to provide, but in a concrete, positive, effective terms, an access to the sea for the country called Serbia, which, as we speak, is only a kind of negative propaganda or political, I would say, false argument. But in concrete terms, it is not being used. It is our interest in Montenegro not to deprive Serbia of that possibility, but to help and to participate together with the Serbian companies and with the support of Serbian government, hopefully, as it was not the case half a year ago. Now we have some positive developments, and with the participation of foreign investors to make the railway better in order to have Porto Bar used to the extent which is possible as a container port. That is a kind of logics of their development, because it is situated in the very Ortran door, the very beginning of Adriatics, and it can serve a number of other ports along the Adriatic basin on one side, and the highway, of course, to Belgrade, where our Italian friends can be interested to have this communication through Montenegro and through Serbia towards their, I would say, large number of important investments, both in Romania, for example, and in Hungary. Hungarians themselves are also interested to have this kind of communication. So for years to come, there are a lot of infrastructure efforts, which, of course, as it is always the case, would bring a benefit to the overall economy.
Okay. I have two people, lady here and a gentleman here. Who else? Okay. You'll be third.
Ladies first.
Please.
I actually have a question shifting focus us as well from politics. I am a student at Johns Hopkins, SAIS, and I am doing a master's thesis on media's role in Montenegro and the EU. Considering challenges that Montenegrin media faces, like Serbian influence on Montenegrin voters, and as far as media, how much influence do you think that the Montenegrin media now will have in the push for independence from Serbia versus other institutions?
It's an interesting question. Although independence itself, it is not independence from Serbia, actually. It is sometimes understood in Serbia as such a thing. It's independence in favor of Montenegro. I mean, to be obsessed by to divide from Serbia is not necessarily the most important. It's a marginal, I would say, primarily cultural segment of the problem. We were under cultural domination, if you want, from Serbia in the last 90 years. And I don't say that as a negative, just it's a fact of life. On the other side, I would recommend you to be cautious in front of the Serbian media here to mention such a negative impact of Serbian media. Serbian media have destroyed Serbia in the early 90s. That is their crime, if you want to ask this minister. What they are going to do now in Montenegro concerning referendum Montenegro, it's up to them. We are pretty confident that all the reasonable and professional people there will do their business. Doing their business also means to be correct, fair, and objective, and that's it. And most of them are precisely that. Of course, from time to time, you will find the very false interpretations and accusations and misinformation and explanation of certain phenomena, statements, or the policies which are being conducted in Montenegro in some of the Serbian media, but frankly speaking, they are becoming more and more marginal, these type of media. What is important here, we need an open communication with Serbia. We are not afraid of that. On the contrary, it's our best interest that people who are dealing with this part of very important job in both countries, in Montenegro and Serbia, to do what is their business, what is their obligation to do. Concerning some other notions Actually, one of the most important part of your question is the Montenegrin media and the possibility and their role. It's a very good sign there that there is some kind of auto-imposed rule of behavior, if you want, which Montenegrin media, both paper and electronic ones, have actually reached recently, two weeks ago, obliging themselves to conduct a fair campaign, although it's impossible to have fair campaign to the full extent of the word, but it is encouraging and promising that we have that kind of responsibility exercised by the people who are dealing with that important part of the campaign. So we are pretty confident that the maturity of Montenegrin democracy is also exercised and shown through the behavior of Montenegrin media. Concerning their Serbian colleagues, I think the best address is to ask Serbian media about that. What is important also, recently we had some very positive impulses, if you want, some ideas coming from a number of Serbian media, which are more open than it was the case before, to listen to the real arguments of both sides involved in the process in Montenegro, what it is all about, what is referendum about, and what are the future relations in between Montenegro and Serbia. Because actually, when I was recently asked to be with my relative, Mr. Predrag Bulatović, in Belgrade, because I will insist to call him like that, because we should stay together in Montenegro after Montenegro shall become independent. That is our one of the main ideas and, I would say, slogans or messages in our campaign will be that in referendum you don't have someone, you will not have defeated people. It's not a zero-sum game. Montenegro is to win there, and the possibility, capability of that country to regain the status of an independent nation. That is an important message. And I have refused to go to Belgrade to talk with Mr. Bulatović on Montenegro and about referendum in Serbia. And I have asked, and I was understood correctly as, by the people who have invited us, because my idea was that we are to go to Serbia to talk with our Serbian friends and colleagues with whom we may disagree on a number of issues, but about the topic which is related to our mutual relation in the future. That is what we should actually talk about and confront our ideas and concepts. Maybe some of our ideas are naive enough or not developed enough or even wrong, but Serbia is not the good place to talk about Montenegro referendum. Serbia is an excellent place. Belgrade is an excellent place for the talks on the future of Montenegrin-Serbian relations.
Viktor Sederkin from the Hungarian Embassy, Deputy Chief of Mission. You mentioned that one of the primary goals for an independent Montenegro is European Euro-Atlantic integration. What is the popular support behind EU-NATO membership? Is there an in-depth public debate going on? I asked because I remember in the late 80s, Central Europe... there were some politicians entertaining the idea of, you know, being neutral. But then, of course, for historic or sentimental reasons, but then, of course, it was overwhelming. We recognize that, you know, you can better provide for your security or economy in an integrated system. So what's the case in Montenegro, bearing in mind that, you know, I mean, you're preparing for independence and then you have your own public debate and prepare for your public for the advantages and disadvantages of or the sacrifices you should make for EU membership or NATO membership?
Thank you. We have the same phenomena actually there in Montenegro in the context of support to NATO on one side and to EU on the other. EU is, for a number of reasons, sometimes these reasons are pretty naive, I would say, but considered as the actually something which is supported by 80%, even 70-something percent of people. And at least the political representatives of Montenegrin people have shown recently in this decision to go to the referendum according to rules which were suggested by EU that there is a genuine orientation towards that very, I would say, family. On the other side, NATO is not that popular for a number of reasons. And the support to NATO is very close to the support to the ruling parties in percentage. Although it's not only the supporters of the ruling parties who are supporting the NATO membership, but the figures are in lower 40s, 40-something percent. The NATO intervention from 1999 is one of the reasons. The NATO intervention where, of course, Montenegro was neutral, and the NATO intervention which we don't call the other name, as it is the case in some other countries. The fact that all the new EU member states have actually entered PFE and NATO first and then joined the Union is also kind of our idea and direction of our development. We believe that without profound and genuine reorganization and reform of the military sector, and without our full participation and membership first in the program, Partnership for Peace, and then consequently NATO, you cannot have the long-term and durable stability in the region. Recently, we were in Vienna for a kind of panel discussion when there were some people who, non-Yugoslavs, non from ex-Yugoslavia, but from Europe, who were doubting this notion of entering NATO before Europe or entering NATO at all. And I was asked, what is the situation in which you actually would refrain from that goal, entering NATO? And it occurred to me to say, there is one situation, in fact, that if each and every nation surrounding Montenegro enters NATO, then maybe it would not be that needed, we to be there. But it is our strategic goal, and we shall not refrain from that. We believe that the southern wing of NATO, there could be some very modest but also some kind of additional quality provided by Montenegrins. One of them, we have a very efficient and very modern demining center, the Center for Underwater Demining, very good specialists. Our Slovenian friends, they also have a similar center, so there is a very good cooperation between the two. And that is in modern times when we project the Montenegrin army, once we are independent, to be a professional one, up to 3,000 professional soldiers and officers. That could be our small contribution to the joint activities in the southern wing of NATO. On the other side, what is important in that context is we are fully aware that the referendum itself will not finalize each and every, actually, job concerning, I would say, becoming an independent country. One of the very important list of duties which wait for us, both in Montenegro and Serbia, is to find a suitable and mutually acceptable methodology and plan to dissolve the army as it is organized now, where the very presence and the existence of this type of navy as we have, as we speak, 2,800 people, very costly ones, but without, of course, their direct responsibility, very inefficient because they have very old-fashioned machinery, old-fashioned and inefficient vessels and equipment which is outdated in each and every, I would say, element, is one of the priorities. So we need a totally different naval forces, probably in the shape and in the way which is it is organized now in Croatia, where the fact that there is a coastal guard type of navy with 700 officers and soldiers altogether on the coast, which is five times longer than Montenegrin, one with 2,000 bigger and smaller islands more than we have, it's actually a kind of, I would say, model which we would apply when we are going to gain that capacity. That is on May 22nd this year.
Ralph Marlatt with RJM Consultants. I'd just like to make a comment on the economic situation. I just returned from a five-year private sector development project in Montenegro and working with the Montenegro Business Alliance. And I just wanted to mention that over that period, the MBA had seven cross-border business-to-business forums, where 7 million euro in contracts were signed by Montenegrins with surrounding countries. And that type of economic development is also fueling the economy, where Montenegrins can work at, in this. So I just wanted to make that.
Thank you. You can witness that Ministry of Foreign Affairs has supported some of your activities. Thank you.
Margarita Asanova, Institute for New Democracies. I have a question regarding foreign assistance to Montenegro, both from the United States and from the European Union. How much assistance Montenegro gets at the moment, particularly in the most important areas such as economy, law enforcement reform, judicial reform, border control? How is it compared to the assistance provided to Serbia and Kosovo at the moment? And do you expect more assistance if Montenegro, when Montenegro becomes independent?
I'm terribly sorry, Margarita. I cannot help in that comparison because it's, especially with Serbia, to compare because of the discrepancy of the needs even. But we are continuously supported in the sectors you have mentioned on both sides of the Atlantic. We are looking forward, maybe once we qualify for the next stage in the SAA context, to be even more supported from some European funds. That is one of the strongest motivations on economic level for our drive towards independence. So on the, here in America, we have a continuous, I would say, very correct support, both in the administration but also on the Hill, where decisions which our representative here, Zorica Maric, is following for years. And there was a continuous, I would say, very correct understanding of the complexities and specific needs of Serbia and Montenegro, where even in the context of some political implications, Montenegro was always exempted for certain suspensions and inevitable delays and problems which our Serbian friends have faced because of certain political, I would say, decisions, or the lack of certain political decisions in Belgrade for years. So we are very grateful for both to our American and our European friends in that context. Montenegro is a society and a system, as our friend knows, and all the people who are actually who are informed well enough with Montenegrin economic and other levels of reality, if I may say, that it's a small system which has one, I would say, inevitable positive prerequisite, characteristic, and that is the small systems are not inertial. Each and every help, however limited it is, may have a direct, a huge positive impact and continuous, actually, dispersed effect on a number of actually sectors in Montenegro. So investing in Montenegro, or helping Montenegro, even if the figures are limited and more modest than it is the case with some surrounding countries, sometimes it is much more efficient in our country. What is important, each and every segment of this support, being financial or technical, are scrupulously, I would say, monitored, and there were no, luckily enough, and we are kind of proud about that, there was no misuse or, I would say, wrongdoings related to this support. On the contrary, everything is transparent, and the fact it was transparent and used properly, we expect the support to continue.
Thank you. There was a lady, please.
I'm from Politico Daily, Belgrade. I was wondering, what makes you so sure that Mr. Mladic will not be in the Hague until the end of the month? Do you have some special sources, or do you just judge because of the atmosphere in Belgrade with the funeral of Milosevic in Belgrade?
Thank you for that question. Actually, I'm not that sure. I would like to be certain in the other dimension and in other direction. We are 10 years, we, if I may say, first, plural, late, we are late 10 years with that extradition. It was just an attempt on my side to analyze the ongoing situation where the death of Milosevic had inevitably enough had some negative implications on internal political scene in Serbia. But I have also already said, if you remember, that we would greet and applaud and support the extradition if it is possible by the end of this month or by the end of any month until the end of this year, because, you know, it is necessary for the future of Serbia also, that person to be there where he belongs.
May 20th.
May 20th is also acceptable for us. Even the morning on the 21st. But it may actually disappoint some of the supporters of the joint state with Serbia.
I have two people, one, two, actually three, and Mike as well.
Another Belgrade Daily, Večernje Novosti. Recently, some Albanian groups here in Washington raised their voice, expressing their unsatisfaction with the degree of, democracy in Montenegro, and asking for a larger degree of self-rule within Montenegro. How do you address these requests?
We are, as you know, one of the pillars of our overall policy is the a continuous dedication for development of Montenegro as a functioning multi-ethnical and multi-religious state. And we are doing fine in that context, and we are proud of that. Even in the context of the Albanian minority, we have had, and it is not our assessment, it is the reading and the analysis of a number of foreigners who are fully involved in monitoring and even directing some of the segments of these processes, because we are talking about different activities in different areas, which are not necessarily always related to the regional or local autonomy aspect. And all of them reports that Montenegro is doing fine. Naturally, it does not mean that we are perfect or that we have completed each and every particular project in the context of the improvement, not only of the, protection of both individual and collective rights of our ethnic minorities, but also improvements which are related to the capacity building of Montenegrin society as such, where without the full involvement and cooperation with the legitimate representatives of ethnic minorities and ethnic minorities taken collectively or individually, citizen by citizen, we cannot actually hope that we are going to have a functioning society. Western Balkans is a pretty, negative environment for these kind of ideas. And that is why, and I would be very direct with you, sometimes certain people and certain political forces tend to manipulate or try to manipulate these things in a way which is, frankly speaking, so far away from reality that it's tragicomical sometimes, which does not mean, and you should not report in your distinguished daily, that Minister Vlahovic has denied that there are some problems in that context. On the contrary, that is why we have a continuous dialogue within Montenegro with the legitimate representatives of Albanian community, as well as with our diaspora. When I said our, meaning including Albanians, as we had a few evenings ago in New York, where, of course, we cannot expect and ask nobody from Montenegro, no ethnic community, to have a unanimous opinion and unanimous understanding of each and every detail of certain processes. Therefore, it is legitimate to have the different opinion about our efforts. It is legitimate to have different understanding about our achievements. But also it is, I would say, correct and serious, it would be correct and serious enough to address the reality in Montenegro in a way which is very easy to do. That is to see what was done, what is the level of developments in certain processes, and what is the orientation of the government, whether it can be controlled, whether it can be monitored, and whether it can be supported, as it is the case in a number of our joint activities. One of the issues which were mentioned in that context is the idea of the municipality of Tuzi, and where we have a new law which was done with, quite a supportive activity with our American friends, not only the people from Project on Ethnic Relations from Princeton University, but also with the support from the American administration itself, where we have managed to, I would say, finalize that very project to the level of 80%. There are some other issues which are going to be discussed, analyzed, and, of course, we in Montenegro are fully dedicated to deal with these issues together, not differing each other whether I'm an Albanian or I'm not an Albanian. That is why Montenegro has a chance, and that is why Montenegro is, in this context, more credible than some other, I would say, governments in the region. So it's legitimate. The protests are legitimate, which is one case. The other case, whether the messages are credible and realistic one.
Please.
I'm Tamika Tilleman with the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. I hope you can address two tangentially related questions. The first is the presence of Russian election monitors at the time of the referendum. What role do you anticipate they will play in the certification of the results? The second that is linked
not
to
that
it...
Not that one which was suggested by Janusz, yes, excuse me.
Is the role of Moscow more broadly in the independence movement, and what do you see as their influence?
We have actually dispatched the invitations for the monitoring and observation of our referendum process to all relevant international addresses. Yeah, that's the accent. Addresses, that is to Vienna, to OIC, to Strasbourg, to Council of Europe, to European Union itself, and, of course, to individual countries, one of them being Russia. We are going to have monitors from different countries. They are all welcome to Montenegro. We want the full transparency of the process. We are not afraid to have an increased number of observers, as it was the case in the last 10 years in each and every election process in Montenegro, being local, for general elections or even presidential ones. So this we should repeat it in hopefully in this very occasion. I used to say to our interlocutors, to people we talked with recently, that if they cannot double their presence, they should triple it. And we mean it, because the sustainability and credibility of referendum results should be based on the assessments and analysis of relevant international and foreign bodies. That is very important. Concerning Moscow attitude, we believe that Russian Federation has a very positive attitude towards the Montenegrin-Serbian relations. It was repeated to us recently in New York, where we had, among other talks, a talk with very, very, very interesting one with Ambassador Denisov, the head of mission of Russian Federation to the United Nations. Russia will respect the decision of Montenegrin people, and that is what we are very satisfied with. The very similar, benevolent, and very optimistic, if you want, projections come to us from other relevant, if I may say so, other important countries. We had talks in New York recently with British ambassador, with German one, with Chinese one, of course with Austrians, with Belgians. Recently, the president, the prime minister, the speaker, and this very minister, we actually had a number of talks throughout Europe where this very position was confirmed. The needs assessment mission of ODIHR, that is of OSCE, has already come to Montenegro. So the process of monitoring has already started. The invitations for monitoring of the process for observation were delivered to the OSCE headquarters, and also on the parliamentarian level, the U.S. Congress can expect the official letter by President of our Parliament, Mr. Krivokapic. So, taking all these things into account, we can only hope that Janusz's interpretation of possible behavior is...
I meant it. After the monitoring.
After the
celebration.
Yes. Celebration, yes. So.
Mike, question. Mike has a second go around.
Before I ask what's usually called a frank question, if you don't mind, I'd like to just comment for a second on the question of the Albanians. I have to relate an anecdote, I guess. I remember, I guess it was in 1998, just before the things blew up in Kosovo, I went down to Montenegro, and I asked to meet with Mr. Ferhat Dinosha, who was the head of the largest ethnic Albanian party in Montenegro. I'd never met him before, and I said, well, how are things going? And he shook his head, sadly, said, not well. And, you know, I'm used to the Western Balkans, and I was expecting him to say, you know, we can't learn in our language, or the police beat up on us, or we can't speak. And, you know, I was expecting the usual thing. Instead, he looks across the table at me, and he says, we got a real problem. He said, increasing numbers of young Albanians here in Montenegro are joining the mainstream political parties. And I looked at him and I said, Mr. Dinosha, you've just enunciated my dream for the Balkans. I mean, and I could follow this up. I mean, a year and a half ago, when I was in Montenegro, our consul general gave a dinner for the and invited the heads of all the Albanian groups and parties and the minister for minorities in the current government, who I guess is an ethnic Albanian. And I can tell you, if diversity of opinion equals democracy, then democracy is alive and well in the Albanian Montenegrin community. I mean, they were arguing. It was unbelievable. And I didn't hear one single person that the whole evening say that there was this, that there was discrimination. They were all saying, we can do things better, or we're the legitimate this, the illegitimate that. Anyway, I think what you heard has much more to do with a wonderful world of diaspora politics in the United States, and that's not just the Albanian Americans. I mean, this is a great feature of our country. The frank question that I want to ask.
Yes, please.
Is about Montenegro's reputation in Western Europe. And I think every time I go there, I hear what ranges from a whispering campaign against Montenegro to out-and-out insults. And it usually and certainly the temperature rises the closer you get to Brussels. And the usual line is, this is a gangster state, and this is a corrupt place, and this is smuggler's paradise, and there's never – I'll just leave it at that, and I'll let you answer it. But it's there, and I think we have to face the fact that there is this campaign going on, whether it's organized or spontaneous, I don't know. But how would you answer these kind of charges that I'm sure you've heard also?
Didn't bring your pirate's hat with you.
now I need the Hamlet, which was mentioned by Janusz at the beginning. No, it's not that dramatic anymore. Although we may expect, as we approach referendum, to have the repetition of some of the accusations. What is important there? A serious person should not fall into temptation to adopt the conspiracy theory in this very case. There is no conspiracy against Montenegro. Montenegro is not that important to be confronted with this kind of international conspiracy. There are some countries and some interests where, in the last 15 years, we had a number of deals and jobs being done with Milosevic Serbia. And we are faced sometimes with some of the consequences there. Montenegro is a small country which can be monitored, which is where we have, if I may say, quite a successful cooperation with number of foreign services on number of issues. We can, by the new law, we have adopted the European standard to control our borders by police, not by the military. We are in constant cooperation with a number of, as I said, foreign services in the context of the control of the borders. U.S. government has supported us repeatedly with equipment and technical and other support in that particular context, control of the borders. Of course that we are on the crossroads, a number of very, I would say, negative phenomena, where Montenegro is not unique in the Western Balkans to be faced with this phenomena. If you read the last report here on human rights and some other reports, you can find, I would say, quite an accurate reading of the present situation without any exaggeration, without, of course, marginalizing or undermining the seriousness of the problem. Montenegrin Ministry of Interior, with the full international capacity, has signed a number of bilateral agreements with all the ministries in the region, in the broader context, included Austria, Hungary, Poland, Czech Republic, Bulgaria, Romania. We have a serial of these agreements for the control of these phenomena, organized crime, transborder crime. And Montenegro is, pretty confident that we are confident that these kind of accusations are losing the weight and importance with their constant repetition. I mean, I'm not comparing that with the story when the boy was shouting "Wolf, Wolf," and the problem is there. We are aware of that, and we are fighting that to the extent which is possible for this very small democracy, if you want. Hoping that one of the important, going back to Margarita's question and ending this, a number of our joint activities and support we are going to get, hopefully, both from America and Europe, will be dedicated to these kind of problems. We don't have problem with that. On the contrary, it is our best interest to eliminate that particular layer of exaggerations from the image which was put on Montenegro in some of the papers in some of the countries. On the other side, without any excuse, Montenegro is not, as we were repeatedly said by a number of our foreign friends, we are not unique in that context, unfortunately enough, in the Balkans.
Do you have a very short, because they really have to rush, very quick one?
No, we have 5 minutes. Yeah.
Well, we covered politics, military, and economics, and I just wanted to see if we can cover.
Yourself,
I'm sorry, Ivana Howard, National Endowment for Democracy. I just wanted to bring up an event that almost overshadowed Milosevic's death in Serbia and Montenegro, and that is the outcome of the last Saturday's Eurovision Song Contest. And as trivial as this event may seem,
was that the song?
As trivial as that event may seem, I frankly have to say that I have never heard so much discussion among common people about what the true state of the State Union is between Serbia and Montenegro. And what is your opinion, if you might, don't mind entertaining us at the end of this discussion, with your opinion on what such a public display of the true state of the Union might have had on the mind frame people both in Serbia and Montenegro?
It's inevitable to have that kind of impact. That was a ceremony. I have witnessed that with my 3 daughters, very young ones, who were cheering the Montenegrin candidate, logically enough. Not only because they know that the Serbian song was some kind of pattern of early 30s, some Charleston type of, no. Because they don't know, neither do I. I mean, the problem is... The problem is the very outburst of behavior, of certain behavior was to me a reminder of early 90s, which is not good.
By the audience
in the presentation of that. The outcome is very simple, if I may say, Serbia and Montenegro, and I believe that very decision shall be inherited by the member state which shall not go to referendum. In full accordance with the constitutional charter, is that Serbia and Montenegro are suspended to participate in Eurosong contest for 4 years. Once independent, we shall be out of the reach of that decision, I hope.
hopefully you have your own football team in time for the next World Cup as well.
But. Yes, it is not relevant, but it was very educational for my daughters, because the father there does not want to to come to certain decisions and opinions being taught by the father, who is fervent supporter of this independence idea. But, you know, that was quite an educational, scenery, where it was completely absurd. It was unnecessary, because at the end of the day, it's just Eurosong. But the impact is, the people have commented that because they know it is not about songs. It is about relation where winning... Actually, if we are equal, then we are equal in bad things, but also good ones. Being equal in being stupid is also equality. When you are stupid. But being equal in winning, where you can win, it's also equality. So both sides of equality should be respected in order to have equality. which a number of youngsters who were following that in the very Sava Center, if I'm not mistaken, were not aware of the importance of equality there. Although it was just, I would say, the context was not the context and the contest. It's not that important, actually.
Okay, I think we'll stop on that. Thank you very much, Mitra. And also thank you to Zorica Maric. If you want any more information, yes, please get in touch with the Montenegro Mission.
Thank you, Anders.
Thank you.